Time. let's sing the old rugged cross. But go ahead. You got a testimony?
I just want to give God all the glory.
Amen. Amen.
The praise and the honor. I am just so grateful to be here, and I just want to let the body know my husband had asked for prayer for me a couple weeks ago. And initially, when things happened, I'll have to be truthful and honest, I was anxious, I was tense, I was tearful. And then something whispered and said to me, along with my husband, pray about it.
Amen.
And you know, the Lord, he answered my prayer.
Yes,
there were some very important documents that I had, and I needed it. And God came through. And I just want to thank that I have a home here to come to.
Amen. Amen.
Because it helped me with the guidance.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I'm just so grateful and thankful.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. So, you know, the first thing I want to start with, that I woke up this morning, I'm thankful for that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I got my epidural Tuesday, so I'm thankful for that. It's helping me with my pain, so I'm very thankful. I'm walking without my cane, or at least trying to.
Amen.
You know, and I also wanted to thank my pastor. Like, I had a conversation with one of my people, and she was asking me questions that one question I couldn't answer, which I still need you to touch on it. But she was asking, what was God before God? And Pastor Moore, here we're out of town, and he's answering it. You know, and I'll be honest, you know, I'm a little slow sometimes, you know, so I have to, like, hear it again. Because it ain't like something you can just pick up and you just get it, you know? And he was able to answer that for me, you know? And God does listen to you, and God does give you answers that you can't give to everybody else, you know?
Right.
And when we were on the way down there to the trip, you know, a lot of us got sick because of West Virginia. We got down the wrong road. I don't know how we got down the wrong road, because Brother Isaiah said we didn't go down that road, but we went down this windy road, and I told Kevin, I said, if we break down, you know, we die in the night. Because it was, I mean, there. When I say no streets lights, no nothing, we were going to die. So I was just like, so, you know, we prayed on it. But, you know, and then, of course, of all people, we stop at a gas station. There's always God working, you know. There's a loose dog running around. And it's about to go on the highway and stuff, and I'm trying to get it, you know, and this other lady's trying to get it, and, You know, and I thought to myself, where is Brother John? I need Brother John's help right now, you know. And it was a cute little thing, but he was so skittish, you know. And I think to myself, why does animals always pop up around me? Because I'm an animal lover. I love animals more than I love people, and I'll be honest about that. I mean, I'll take an animal over a person any day, you know. But I wanted to be thankful for my blessings that I was able to go to that. And then Pastor Moore enlightened me. And I'm telling you, in the 7 years I've been here, I'm smarter.
Amen.
I'm smarter when it comes to God. Amen. You know, like when people are like, God loves everybody, you know. You're not allowed to judge. Well, found out those are not all, you know, those are not true. You know, you got to, and then, you know, I want to, you know, talk about something serious to me right now. Because, you know, and I also have to ask for God for forgiveness for this week. I've been angry. And I'm angry because this world's gone crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I said this earlier in the year, you can vote for whoever you want to. But when you start bullying people, when putting people down and talking about, like, this is a serious conversation. I've had this conversation with my father, who everybody knows is Caucasian. I'm going to tell everybody my race since everybody doesn't know. My mother's from Thailand, so I'm Asian. My father is Caucasian, so I'm half white. So that's what I am. Okay. I've been told to go back to my country. So I'm like, you want me to go back to Elkhart, Indiana? That's where you want me to go? Because that's where I was born. So if that's where you want me to go, that's where I'll go. So I'm the type of person, you know, I ask people real questions. Because I don't know an answer unless I ask you a question.
Right.
I've always been taught, if you don't know the answer, then ask.
Yeah.
So, you know, I asked people, like, are you more, first I asked them, you know, when they tell me about me. Because I've been called the N-word, I've been called a wetback, I've been called a spick, I've been called everything. So until you get it right, you're going to slander me, you better get the right slander down, first and foremost. But, you know, far as me, when I think about, like, my family, I always tell people, I'm the spokesperson for the Rainbow Coalition, okay? I care about all races. My father, like I said, is white. My mother's Asians. My kids also have black in them. So I fight for what was right. Like, I used to think I was just an angry person. And then finally, this one lady told me one time, she says, Way, she said, you're just passionate. Then another person told me one time, I was telling her something, that issue within my family. Within my family. And she was like, Sway, she said, you just want people to be right. And that's just what I want out of this world. I don't care who you vote for. I just want people to be right. Like, I asked this one lady, and she never answered me. And I feel like I can say it because I am half white. I asked her, are you more American than I am because you're white? Because if you're telling me to go back to wherever I came from, that's the only thing I can gather from what you're telling me, because you don't know me. You don't know nothing about me. And this world is so angry. Like me, I don't see color. And I really feel like people should grow up in the military world, because they don't allow that. God's honest truth, they don't allow you to talk about race and religion and stuff. And they teach you structure. And my dad used to always say, if you don't know where you're going, go into the military, especially man, because you'll understand structure. You know? And I've been raised in the religious family. I've been Catholic the majority of my life. And like I said, I've learned more in the 7 years that I've been in this church than I have my entire life. And I'll go ahead and put my age out there, too. I'm 53. And I've lived life, and I've been through a lot. But what I'm angry about, too, is, like I said, you can vote for who you want, but please don't put any politician, man or woman, in the same category as my God, the God in heaven. None of them can touch him. Nobody can touch him. God hasn't brought no politician to me. And I guess that's my anger, is you're bringing God into something that has nothing to do with God. Let's keep state and God out of it. But I just want people to know, racism is really happening. Talk to your kids about it. Like I tell my daughter-in-law, who's Caucasian, my grandbabies look Caucasian. And I tell her, but you need to teach them that they have black in them. Because that means they're not proud of who they are if you don't teach them that. And like my daughter, people make fun, and we make fun of it all the time, because we can do that, because that's our family, those are my grandbabies. But like my daughter's baby, you haven't seen her new baby, but one is straight Caucasian, and one looks just like her, curly hair, tanner skin. And people are always like, people will ask her, did you bear him? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. She's like, Yes, 9 pounds, all of that. I buried him, yes. You know, but I just wanted to talk about something serious, and I wanted to ask for forgiveness for myself too, because I have to stay off social media because I feed into that. You know what I'm saying? I do, and I'm aware of that. And I always think to myself, what would Pastor Moore tell me? What would my daddy tell me? And what would God tell me? You know, I turn the other cheek as much as I can. Trust and believe that. But amen. I'm never going to let you just and like I said, it could be a bunch of black people ganging up on one white person. You don't think I'm going to fight for that one white person too? I'm going to. That's who I am. I'm about what's right. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Come on, let's grow up. And the other thing is too, like I was telling Kevin, you got all these big flags hanging. Why not have a big flag of God? Like, do we forget about him? I mean, I've never seen people fight so hard for something. Fight hard for God, because God's the only one that can save us. Amen. God's the only one that can help us. God's the only one that can let us get past this anger like I have inside of me. Amen. You know, I just want, that was just something that was serious, that was heavy on my heart. I just wanted to make sure when I came in here and said it, that I wasn't disrespecting anybody, that I wasn't, you know, trying to be, you know, wrong or disrespectful. It just was heavy on my heart, and I feel like I get tired of biting my tongue about the right thing. I get, it's also, you know, I fight these things. Like I was telling my father, you know, when he used to tell me growing up, he said, "You tell people you're an American." But I explained to my father, "Do you know that people don't see me the same as you?" And his eyes got big. He never looked at it like that. I said, "Dad, no one looks at me and thinks, oh, bet she's Caucasian. No one thinks that." And I just told my dad, you know, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you, you know, and I'm fighting my own family. Like I said, you know, I'm trying to explain to my dad things that I go through, and I understand how racism feels. And if you don't think it's true, it's true. And I told my dad, you know, it's true, Dad. And you know, and it's hard sometimes for him to do it, but as an adult, I'm grown now. And sometimes you have to jog people's way of thinking, you know? And I know that I was raised right because I had God from day one, you know? I didn't have the teaching I have here. I don't have the word that I have here, but I have had God all my life. And I've always put him first, and I put him above no man or no woman. God is always first in my life. And I just want, you know, you all to know that. But I want you to know I'm blessed too. I'm so thankful to be here today, and that I'm getting stronger.
Amen.
But I love you all. Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to jump in here real quick. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. It's just so good to be here right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's our sister Sway. You know, she's fighting a battle, and God bless her, because that just testifies right there, just her getting up here, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay.
But I'm glad I also have a pastor, too. I never realized just the weight of that till this week. You know, I kind of have a playful kind of spirit to me, and I don't take a whole lot of things very seriously when some things I know I should, and it's a very serious hour, you know. But the one thing I know to gauge everything by is that word. He said, "Call all men liars." That's all of us on the planet. If you're a human being, you're a liar. And let God's word be true.
Amen.
That's the only truth. This is all Satan's Eden. No matter what side you're on, no matter where you stand, it all is Satan's Eden. The only truth, the only ground you have to stand on is the word of God. Because we really don't fight against flesh and blood. It's spirits and principalities, powers of darkness in high places. And that's what we're fighting against. And it takes the word to do that. It takes you bringing your carcass to this house of correction and getting that spanking and getting that next order, you know, because we live our life lily pad to lily pad, service to service. Every single time these doors are open, I always want to be here. It's not a question. I don't wake up like, oh, it's church. Oh, I got to do this. And No. I wake up and I'm like, thank God I'm out of that sleep. Oh, now it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Cool. Now I can start getting myself prepared. Now I can prepare myself for whatever God wants to have of me this day, because as long as these doors are open, I will always be here. And that's the thing Seth said. He said, thank God for consistency. Thank God that I can actually be somebody that you can actually lean on, somebody that you can actually depend on now. Because Pastor used to tell me, I got skates on me. And that's scary. You know, I laughed about it. But when you really think about it, Brother Childers used to tell the church, I'll put skates on you and roll you right out. You'll roll yourself right out of here. And, you know, you got to have the eye for the right thing. And the right thing is the word that comes across this pulpit every time on Sunday and once on Wednesday. And that's what I live my life around. I built my life around this thing. Didn't know how to do it until I realized God was doing it for me. He's the one who brought me. He's the one who took me out of the miry clay. He's the one who set my feet on solid ground. And I'm here to say, God bless this word. Because without this word, we would have nothing. Not a single thing. Not no fellowship. Not God. Not anything. So just thank God for this word. Amen. That's all I want to say.
I want to sing When He Reached Down, actually. It's key of B flat. And then I'll let y'all get up. We got to get a song in here.
Amen.
He picked me up, he dusted me off, and he got my own, on my own 2 feet again.
Yes.
He reached down for me.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior. Choice from the tempest. reach down his hand for me.
The Lord.
Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto thee. Oh, guide my feet, hold my hand. I may stand, for you reach down your hand for me.
Just for me. Let's sing the chorus one more time.
When he reached down his hand for me.
Thankful for a balance more than anything, because we got scriptures on both sides, we got the world on both sides. You know, it's turmoil, and without a balance you'll slide one way or the other. You know, I find myself doing it, but you know, it's my choice to stay with the Word. What I know, if I only got one scripture, one revelation, I'm gonna stay with that revelation no matter what goes on around me, no matter what comes or goes. That's where my faith's going to do some good.
Yeah.
Put faith in the system, it'll let you down every single time. Too much corruption in it. It's too far gone. But the Word will always stand. And my revelation of the Word will always stand.
Yes.
And I look at how much I know, how much I've gathered over the years, you know, through the preaching, through my own study, looking at it through early mornings in the bed, God tying things together for me. You know, and I think about all these things, and I think, Lord, you, every bit of it just helped me have a more and more of a balance.
Amen.
To know exactly where I stand. Because, you know, if you didn't, you'd be tore up. There's things in this world that would, without the Word, would tear me to pieces. We had a friend that died in a motorcycle accident just right down from the road, not a half a mile from our house. And a good friend of, husband of my daughter's best friend, only 23 years old, just got out of the service, just bought a house, just got married, whole life in front of him, and to die right there. And if it wasn't for God, I would be so worried about everything. Because that's close to home.
Yeah.
It's real close to home. Now, I know where he's at. I knew him. Never did me no wrong. I put him over there. But the family don't know it. That tears me up. And, you know, life, what it has to offer, it'd be a right fine place for what for death. But, you know, everything winds up in death. You know, we're destined for that. We're dying since the day we were born. And, you know, and those things, and plus the scripture says we have no promise of tomorrow.
Right.
But I've got a promise beyond tomorrow.
That's right.
And it also says that. And I'm thankful.
Amen.
To know how to balance things, because I don't get too tore up about things. You know, I see things, and I know how people act, and I know, my own self would be enough. You know, with when I would do good, evil is present. That's in me. You know, that'd be enough to keep you tore up if I didn't know what God's looking at. If I didn't know my faith is what holds true.
Yeah.
My faith is that anchor.
Yeah.
That cannot be moved. You know, an anchor chain's got slack in it. You might drift a little bit this way, but the anchor catches you. You know, drift a little bit that way, but that anchor holds. And, you know, so life has got its ups and downs. Life's got its things that you don't understand how anybody could be so evil and so disrespectful. But they are. You know, and just like Jesus said, you know, the poor will always show up with you. You know, the devil's always going to be here. And he's always going to be up to his shenanigans. But it's your choice to give to that, however much we give to that. Now, I plant potatoes, and I want a good harvest. Yeah. You know, I don't just plant potatoes. Well, you know, got to have it. You know, devil can have it, whatever. No, I'm going to watch over it.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I get the best harvest I can get.
That's right.
You know, that's my own life. I do the best I can. And if I let too many things affect me, it'll get me off that goal, even that natural goal that I have in life. I do want to retire. You know, I'm not saying, oh, I don't care if I retire. Yeah, I do care if I retire. I don't want to work till the day I die. You know, that's here and there. You might feel that way, fine, but that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to retire soon. I want to relax a little bit. I don't want to wrestle with people's spirits. I don't want to have people mad at me because something didn't go just right, you know. But I thank God for a balance, a perfect balance. But that being said, the first thing I was thinking about this morning was, you know, what Jeremiah was preaching on Wednesday, we have a choice. You know, you can choose to let something tear you up, God will let you do it. You know, you can choose to trust him no matter what, and he'll let you do that too. The yep. thing is, he'll bless that part. Mm-hmm. He'll work things out yeah. there, you know. He's mindful. And that's the thing, it's so changed my outlook completely that God is mindful. We can be touched by feelings or infirmities. If something bothers you, yes, pray. You have not because you ask not. You pray
that's
not.
Right.
And I'm thankful to pray. You know, I was thinking about people that left here. And for a long time I was thinking, well, it's their choice. I can't do anything about it. But then I thought last week, no, that's a spirit of unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a spirit of unbelief on them. And I pray that they get that spirit of unbelief off of them. That's all it is. Satan has distracted them somewhere or the other. They've got their eyes off of the goal. They've got their eyes off the prize. And they're looking at something else, and they've deemed it more worthy for some silly reason. But nonetheless, they have, you know. And you look at people, and you think, well, how could they think that way? How could they let that distract them? But to them, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Moore was talking to me one time, and I started saying something about something. I forget what he was talking about. But I said, well, that just doesn't even make any sense. Well, it does to them. I said, but no, that doesn't make any sense. But it does to them,
right.
You know. And finally got through my head four or five times. Well, you know, it's going to make sense according to the word. Well, yeah, it does. But sometimes we don't see it according to the word. Sometimes we're distracted here and there. And you have to help people
right.
through that.
That's right.
And the Bible says, the scripture I was thinking about, you know, somebody who's overtaken in a fault, go to them, you know, restore them. You know, take heed lest you also be tempted. But, you know, I look at the people who have left and say, well, I can't say anything. They made their choice. Yeah, I can say something. I love them, you know. And, you know, it's not like I'm forcing anything. I'm trying to help them get that spirit of unbelief off of them. And, you know, because I know what it's like. I've had that spirit on me. That spirit still comes to me, you know. And I'm thinking, as I go through life, and every step of the way, it's my choice to press the battle. It's my choice to overcome. It's my choice to even say something today. It's my choice to, everything I do in life is my choice, whether it be natural, whether it be spiritual. Stay with the word, or you know, if I get up in time for work, or I'm going to be late all the time. You know, all that's my choice. And my choice today is to stay with the word no matter what.
That's right.
And, you know, the more I confess that, the more I talk to myself about that. The more I read the scripture and find that is the only thing that's going to help me in the scripture. The more I hear it preached, the more it's real to me. You know, in one sense, you look at it and say, oh, you're just talking yourself into it. And a lot of people left thinking they were just talking themselves into it. But no, it's by your confession you overcome. And, you know, if you need some, get up and start confessing. You know, and say, well, I don't get up enough. Well, don't just get up and say, I don't get up enough. Get up every time. Say, I don't get up enough, but I'm working on it. You know, I want to say something. I want this to be real to me. You know, and if you sit back and think about Satan, throw your thoughts every which way. You know, sit there and think about how can people be the way they are, and that's all you think about. But, you know, I get up and I confess that I have a balance that I overcome because I don't let these distractions bother me. You know, there's many things in this world. I wouldn't want to bore you with it because I don't bore myself with it. I don't give it the time of day. You know, there will always be prejudice. There will always be hatred. There will always be somebody thinking they're better than somebody else. There will also be somebody that thinks they're a victim when they're too lazy to do anything about it. You know, that will always be. All of my life, that's all I've seen. And that will always be, I'm convinced. Hadn't started changing yet. As a matter of fact, it got worse. But, you know, the Word of God, like Isaiah was saying, is everything. And this is where I put my trust. This is where I put my faith. This is what I lay my whole life in. You know, and my flesh says, oh, what are you saying? What are you saying? But my confession, my soul, is saying, this is where I put my trust in Him. I've seen Him come through. I've seen Him make a way. I've seen Him always come through. I don't see any negativity in the Word of God. I don't see where I've got to drop back and listen to Satan's lies and worry about the cares of the world. You know, the Bible says cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. And, you know, I'm just trying to let you know my balance that I have, how I face everyday life. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have a desire to do something, I'll do it.
Amen.
If God changed my mind, I won't do it. If He changed my mind to do something I don't want to do. Yeah. You know, eternal life is what you do for others. And it's a choice that you have to help somebody. You know, the Bible says, give.
Yes.
And it'd be given to you. Good measure. Right. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
Yeah.
You know, you can never, Sister Alice used to always sing the song, you could never outgive God.
You
know. You give, He will return to you tenfold, hundredfold.
Yeah.
You know. You can never outgive yourself to the Word of God. The Word of God is real. It's yea and amen. It's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that will come out of it in the end, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sit there and I was thinking about this the other day, too. You know, we think about how the devil is such a big deal. The devil's not a big deal at all.
No.
The bride is a big deal.
Yeah.
The bride is the thing that's by far beyond what anything the devil has to say. But only as you make your choice to stay with the Word of God. You know, and no matter what comes or goes, I will stay with the Word of God. And my understanding of the Word of God takes me through everything. And it's my choice that I stay with the Word of God and let it take me through. I don't want to fool with the things of this world. Now, I'm concerned about things. Like I say, I'm concerned about life, you know. I'm concerned about gas prices. You know, I don't want to overpay and overpay and overpay. You know, I don't want government to do stupid stuff. You know, but if they do, I have a rest. I have a peace. Never seen his seed forsaken. Never his children begging bread. And this is where I stay. And it's a conscious effort. It's a choice to stay right there. Because there's things that come and go that if it weren't for God, they would throw me.
Yeah.
I'm a man, you know. I'm concerned about things, you know. You don't step on my toes, I want to slap you, you know. But then again, you know, I'm a man, you know. And, you know, the church world goes great, always turning the other cheek. Well, I turn the other cheek so far. And then, you know, back off, you know. I know where I'm at, and I know, I don't let the devil walk all over me at all. You know, I put the devil in his place quite often. Every heartbeat I put him in his place because I stay with the Word, and that's the greatest thing to do. So sorry for rambling. I'm trying to get off things off my chest, you know, how that you know, I'm trying to somehow put into words my rest, my peace, my joy that's beyond words.
Amen.
You know, the thing that holds me no matter what.
Yes.
I don't care if the closest thing to me, you know, Satan would throw it. You know, I don't care what comes, what goes. I stand in that revelation that God has given me.
That's right.
Amen.
I was thinking about stepping on your toes till you said you'd slap me. go ahead, Sister Brittany, and you'll be the last one. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to get up and say, I thank God, you know, that for your clothes, Pastor Moore, that I asked, and because he's very sick, and last week, and when I got home, he's still in bed, and then, but I had to go to babysit, and so, I just put his noodle soup in the rice cooker, and then I left. Then when I got back home, he's still in bed, so, but, you know, I have this faith. I said, God will touch him, and I know that, and, you know, I believe this prayer club that God will touch Mike. And so the next morning, he got up. That was like Monday. Then he went to work. And so I said, well, thank God, amen, for, you know, for touching Mike. And then he come home, like, he still doesn't feel well. I said, I believe that he will get better, you know. So, and then the second day, like, that was Tuesday, like, he said, I feel a whole lot better now. I said, well, praise God. So I just want to say that because, you know, I'm battling. And I said, I don't want to get up. And so God, like, well, you don't want to get up? I touched Mike, and you don't want to say thank you to me? I said, yes, Lord. Thank you so much for touching Mike, and
amen.
God bless you all.
Amen.
Now it's your turn. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, bear with me, guys. I have had this song on my heart for months, but I really am shy, and so just bear with
That's
me.
Okay.
If you know it, sing with me. I tried to fit you in the walls inside my mind. I tried to keep you safely in between the lines. I tried to put you in the box that I've designed. I tried to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world?
Amen.
I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? Just a whisper of your voice can tame the seas. So who am I to try to take the lead? Still I'll run ahead and think I'm strong enough. When you're the one who made me from the dust. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? All right, guys, thank you.
Amen.
Go ahead. You're the last one.
I'm not being stubborn. I'll just keep it to the announcement. So it is that time of year to update the phone book, and Brother Jay asked me to bring it. It's out in the front. If you have major revisions, there's some blank pages in the back, and we will pick it up on December 11th. But I thank God I'm here.
Amen. But yeah, remember the announcements? It's holiday season now, so got special services and dinners and whatnot coming up. Remember Jay in Little Bethlehem this morning? God bless him. Let's sing Lord, I Need You Now, and we'll get him up. What's next week? Next week is the Thanksgiving meal. Lord, I need you now. It's time for the word.
Today, Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out that door, I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Yes, before I leave, Lord, I need a change.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're here today because we want to leave different. We're here today because we know that, Lord, if you would just come by here, I will never be the same. Oh, we had to wrestle with you one time, as Jacob did. But Lord, no, I just need a touch from you. And all you got to do is touch, and we'll never be the same. Lord, there's a request that's been brought before the body. Lord, Jeremy in Indiana asked for his grandmother to be touched by you. The doctors don't know what to do, and Lord, but you do. Father, I ask you to move in that behalf. And Brother Bobby, I'm hearing that he's doing better, but Lord, we still want you to touch him more and bring him completely back to his normal self. Ask you to be with Jamie as he recovers from his surgery, and Trevor, and different ones that, Lord, we bring before you, John and Dawn, the ones we keep before you. Sway and the different ones who are recovering, Father, we see the change, we see the improvement, but Lord, we don't see enough. We want to see more. We want you to just touch them till they're walking straight, they're talking straight, they're living straight, they're moving straight. Lord, that's what we want in you, Lord. Lord, this morning we've come here. Bringing Clarice, I ask you to touch her. It's not feeling well in her body, different ones. Sister Jennifer, next door, not feeling well. Lord, we know that you are the one who can do the job because you paid it by your stripes. And Lord, we won't accept second best. You don't accept second best, so Lord, neither will we. We ask you to move on his behalf. Be with Brother James as he ministers down Little Bethlehem's this morning. And Lord, let him just stir the people in such a way that the change that we're talking about here this morning can happen even there. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us. Ask you to take the next few minutes and move us aside. Let us, Lord, just edify the body with your word that's laying before them. Bless both the speaker and the hearer. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have a place to come. Good to have a place that has answers. This world is full of questions, but they're not full of answers. And it seems like the later the hour gets, the more questions they have and the less answers they have. But I am thankful for a place to come that has the answer. I am also very thankful that the election is over. You know, you can do what you want, vote how you want. You know, you're a free moral agent. You can make a choice of who you want and who you don't want, but don't let nothing this world do disturb your rest. Amen. And I say that to Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Don't let nothing that you get involved with the world get so important that it causes you to lose your Christianity. It ain't that deep. It's Satan's Eden. He's on both sides. It's like you got two people fighting and you don't like either one of them when you're trying to cheer for one. You don't care for either one of them. The thing is, this world's gone. I was saying to Brother John on the way to church this morning, Brother Branham said, you could put Abraham Lincoln on every corner. It wouldn't change a thing. So all of your efforts and all of your energies that you're pushing one way or the other, you got to understand, when you're pushing anything of this world that belongs to man, you're just supporting Satan's system. You really are. And don't get too tore up on the winners or losers. I'm just thankful it's over. Because, you know, it's in God's hands anyway. I don't care. You could vote all you want. It's in God's hands. God knows what he's doing. And he knows who he needs to have in he knows who he needs in the White House. He knows who he needs at Capitol Hill. He knows who he needs in the Pope seat. You should get just as upset about the elections here as you do when they pick a pope. We don't care. It is just, they pick John Paul or whatever the name is, whoever the pope is, and we don't really get too involved and care about that too much. Because you know why? He's not our pope. This is not our kingdom. This ain't our home. So don't get yourself all in a bunch thinking that you got to defend something. You know what? You don't have nothing to defend. Jesus said, and I'll give you Jesus' words. Jesus said, if this were my home, I'd fight for it. So quit fighting. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And if it upsets you, tell yourself, let it go. Because you can't change it. It ain't going to change. This world is on its way out. And you getting all tore up on anything that pertains to this life is a waste of your time. So that's why I say I'm glad the election's over. Not so much who won, who lost, but because I don't have to hear it anymore. And you know what else the Bible says? Let me give you this bit of information too. The Bible says, pray for them that's in authority. So whether you like them or not, your job is to pray for them. And hope and pray that they hold it together until we get out of here. Now I'm telling you the balance. And it doesn't matter who wins. Pray for them. That's the Bible, people. You say, but I'm mad. Well, get unmad. What, I don't like it? Well, you don't have to like it. Get over it. And let's serve God. God is the only one right. Brother Branham said, I voted one time, and that was for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not opposed to you voting, because I do it myself. Because I think so many people died that I think it's a thing that I want to do. In honor, if nothing else, those who gave their life for it. But you don't even have to vote. But if you do vote, vote. And if you win, great. If you lose, great. It shouldn't change nothing about your attitude and nothing about serving God. Some people ain't in church today because they're mad. And that's last Tuesday. I just want to bounce that out for you, because I could feel the spirit of election even trying to get in here. It's my job to knock it out. Let it go. Serve God. Pray for them to have rule over you. Does that sound pretty balanced? You got your hands full doing that. Because like her sister said, she said, I get on that social media, you can't believe a word of it. Because ain't none of them, they're all liars. One way or the other, you'll see one picture of one doing something, and you will almost get upset thinking, well, why are they doing that? Well, they're not even doing that. It could be AI. It could be anything. This is Satan's eating. He's got this world tore up. Don't get caught up in the whirlwind of this world. Stay with the Word of God, because heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. So if you want to bank your life on anything, bank it on the Word of God. If you want to have peace of mind, think about Jesus and the Word of God. If you want to not be upset about everything that moves you, you know, you better get used to it, because it's only going to get worse. This is the best that it's going to get right now. Today, tomorrow, I'll say yesterday was the best that we had. And the next day, it's going to get continually worse. But that's the Word of God. So don't get too caught up in this world order, this cosmos, because the end of the cosmos is a burning. It all going to burn. It won't matter which side you're on. It's all going down. Everything's going down but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't get too buried in it. Don't get too caught up in it. Do your part, you know. But then when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ is the one we're living for. He's the one we're fighting for. He's the one that we're looking to. And because we know what we know, we don't get carried away and too caught up in what... The world is, don't try to convince the world. Don't try to spend too much time being right to the world and try to get the world right, because the world is not going to be right. Ever. I hate to disappoint you, but all your arguing you do, all your fussing you do, all the stuff you try to do to get the world straightened out ain't going to work. So don't waste your time. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't waste time on it, so why are you? Don't worry about it. Don't let your hair all get out of bunch because the world's going down. You should be the one who knows that the world's going down. It shouldn't be surprising you. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. So I don't care how many programs you put in, it ain't going to feed everybody. Men are starving around the world because of man, not because of programs or because of God. They always say, well, if God is such a good God, why are people starving in the world? That ain't God's fault. You waste more food at McDonald's throwing away your fries than they do around the world. They could just, you know, we could feed the world with our waste. If men weren't greedy and self-centered and selfish. But that's man. We throw more garbage away, dump food, trash. That's why I don't like waste. I don't like watching kids eat a bite or two and then throw the rest away. I think the parents should just get on their kids when they do that. Don't let your kids pick what they want to eat and then leave the rest. I wasn't raised that way. When mama put it on the table, when you got with the plates empty when you got up. And if it wasn't, it will be after you have that conversation. And I'll use the word conversation because that's what y'all do these days. Y'all don't. You know, back in my day, we got knocked across the table. They call that child abuse now. I call that raising children. They don't do that no more, but doesn't mean. And that's why the world's in the condition it is in. Because the people who are parents weren't spanked when they were kids. Generation after generation have gotten worse and worse and worse. World War II generation, they said it was the greatest generation. I believe that. I believe that. Because everything that came after that has gone downhill. Well, Brother Branham said if the United States didn't turn back to God in 1956, then she's done. 56. We've been done a long time. So don't get too worried about who's in the White House and who's on the whore that sits on seven hills. Don't worry too much about that. Get ready to go out of here.
Amen.
Thank God for Putin. You got to understand, it's a bigger picture than our little things that we think is going on around here. Because this plan that God has comes from before the foundation of the world. This ain't no four-year stint. This thing has been going on for a long time. It comes from the mind of God all the way down to the manifestation right before your very eyes. And it included everything like Pharaoh, like Pilate, like Hitler, like Putin. God raised them up for his purpose. I think we read that last week. For this cause, for this purpose has he raised them up. For God's purpose, because God's picture is bigger than yours. You're just concerned about your dollar and, like you said, your gas for the next couple of days. God's been working on this thing for over 6,000 years. And he is not going to miss the mark. He's not going to mess it up. It's not going to slip loose. And the devil's not going to win. So why are you sitting around acting like you don't know the answers? And why are you spending your time putting your pearls before swine? The world doesn't want it. They don't want this. They don't want this word. I passed, I don't know how many churches. I went to pick up John, and I passed so many churches. Parking lots packed. And I told John, I said, John, I've passed a whole bunch of churches to get here. I said, but people don't want the truth. They don't want to go to a place that's going to tell them what's black and black and what's white and white. They don't want to have somebody tell them that this world is doomed. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get your house in order. Get ready to leave. We're not trying to get this world fixed. We're trying to get out of here. I'm not trying to patch this whole house up and keep this thing together. I'm trying to get, I got a home waiting on me. My Lord told me if this earthly tabernacle could be dissolved, I got another one waiting on me. My Lord also said there's a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. So those are things I'm focusing on. Those are things I'm voting for. Those are things I'm holding to. The rest of it will come and go as you find in a newspaper. Something on the front page is as good as just a day or two, and next thing you know, they got something else on the front page, and you don't even hear about it anymore. Remember those two astronauts that were stuck in space? Yeah, I forgot about them. They're still up there. But we forgot about that. So many other things have happened since then. But so don't spend too much time on this world order. Don't. When you feel your blood pressure rising up and you're ready to put your fist out and you're ready to just go at it with some, just remember, this ain't your fight. And when they're talking crazy to you, you don't have to get crazy with them. You just let them talk crazy and then go on about your business, because they are not convertible. You have to be the elect to be convertible. And I always say, if you talk to a crazy man, I can only go so far with a crazy man till I have to get off. Because you have to be crazy to actually hold a full conversation with a crazy man. You really do. You have to get as crazy as they are. And then that makes you crazy too. So it's like, no, I ain't going down that road. That's by choice. Now, if you want to be upset about this world order, that's your choice. You can do that, and you can be, and you can go down and picket every abortion clinic. I think they're still around. I don't know. The things have gotten so crazy, they're closing them left and right. But you can go picket them if you want. You're not going to lose one seed of God in there. You can go down and picket Kroger's on the pricing. That's about the effect you're going to have. Because you're picking in Fairborn Kroger's, and headquarters is not even in Fairborn. They don't even care that you're outside the store. That's how crazy this world order is. So don't get crazy like them. You're the only sanity there is on this world. The only sane thing there is the Word of God. And because of the opening of the seals, now you have answers to give people who have questions. And if they don't want the answer, don't even worry about it. Take your candy bar and go home. Amen. So that's my political address. If you were unbalanced before you got here, you can be balanced now. If you didn't know how to react to people in the world order, you should know now. I should close the Bible up and go home. I done said enough now to help you for today. But I'm not. I got to give you some steak. That was just the beginning. I want to read a little bit here. I've really been enjoying the services. Pray for Brother Jay. He's getting up. Well, they're starting services now, and he'll be getting up and ministering down in Little Bethlehem. And I appreciate them opening the doors for him to come in, because he needs to get out. Like Brother Childers said, if y'all got a ministry, it's out there. God. I thought that was the wisest thing he told those hard-headed preachers, because they were all trying to bring their doctrines into his church. He said, if y'all ministers got a ministry, it's out there. In other words, go out there and shovel it. So Brother Jay is out preaching this morning, and you pray. We got a trip coming up in January. We want to keep those. Please pray. I'll be gone for 2 weeks, and we'll be over in India. And Brother June is looking forward to me meeting him there, and he's coming from, this is an international meeting. He's coming from the Philippines, and I'm coming from the United States, and we'll meet in India and hold a meeting there. So you pray for that. That's coming up. That'll be here before you know it. But I've been enjoying the services, and I've been really enjoying Wednesday night. Jeremiah, he outdid himself again. And I like that about what is your choice. Because you do have a choice. You're a free moral agent. You can serve God if you want. And you don't have to serve God if you don't want. That is so different than what church world, church order tries to do. They try to make you feel like you've got to serve God. You really don't. It's your choice. And God's not going to make you serve him. And I like the fact that we're balancing it out, in the sense that we're seeing that, you know what? I choose to serve God. I choose to come to church. I choose to love him. I choose to worship him. I choose to do whatever I do for God, because that's me. That's not even the devil or God. That's you. That really is you. You are actually making these decisions. And people have a tendency to believe that God's forcing them to do something. God's not going to force you to serve him. That wouldn't be love. And he's not going to do a shotgun wedding. He's not going to make you marry him. And if you don't want God, God's okay with that. He really is. He don't want you if you don't want him. That's like a husband and wife. Why would a man marry a woman and she's dragging her feet? They're dragging her down the aisle to get her to the altar to marry him. She don't want to go. What kind of marriage would that be? And so it's the same with God. God don't want you if you don't willingly want him. He wants somebody who really does want to be with him. And that ain't God or the devil. The devil don't have no influence over that. Neither does God. That is you. All you. And God, because he is God, he knows the end from the beginning. And he knows what you're going to do with his word when you hear it. He knows that. But it's not him making you do it. It's him saying, now I know. Now I see. Now you really are going to follow me. Amen. It's your choice. Amen. You're sitting here this morning. Determine your outlook going to your eternal destination depends on what you do with the word today. You say, well, I thought predestination covered all that. It does. But predestination only works by foreknowledge. And foreknowledge is God's knowledge of what you choose to do. That's how that's balanced. So while you're sitting here today, if you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't believe a word he's saying, that's your choice. And that determines your eternal destination. Because there are people that are going to be eternally with God, and there are people eternally separated from God. God never knew you. So you say, well, people eternally separated from God. Oh, yeah, there's a such thing as being eternally separated from God. That means God never knew you. You were never part of God. And when you hear God's word, you turn it down because you don't believe it. And it doesn't have a place in you because he never gave you a place, because he already knew you were going to turn it down. The place that would be in you is the seed that he puts in you that pulls you to his word.
Amen. That seed that's down on the inside of you, if you have eternal life today, is because you are always a part of God, and God's little bit of eternal life is in you because you already decided you're going to choose Him.
Amen.
He said, well, my head is spinning. That's how it works. If you already read the back of the book and you know what the story is, how it's going to end, you're not too worried about the damsel on the railroad tracks. Because you already read the back of the story that says she's going to be riding off into the sunset with the hero. Tie her up all you want. The ankle stopped the story. And it doesn't get God all excited and upset thinking, oh, what, how's this going to end? He already knows how it's going to end. And that's why I say don't get so carried away with this world order. You already know how it's going to end. Why are you acting like you ain't read this story? Come on. Why are you acting like you don't know what's going on? You know the end from the beginning because you know Him.
Amen.
We got the end from the beginning sitting right up on the wall.
Amen.
It's not even a secret anymore. We clearly understand. So why are you upset about anything this world does?
Amen.
Oh, do you like it? No, you don't have to like it. Jesus didn't like it. Jesus said, Lord, hey, let this cup pass if it's possible. I said, it's not possible. You got to pay the price. So Jesus paid the price. And you might be looking at the world thinking, oh, Lord, this world's getting bad. Yeah, it's bad. But greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. So don't get too tossed about anything. So let me get started. We got services this evening, and we'll have questions and conversations, I'm sure, tonight. So we can talk more about it. If you want to know more, see me tonight. So if you want to turn with me, I like you having a choice, because I want to dig a little further into an example of someone who had a choice. And we've been hitting and talking about it. I thought I'd go back and read it. Joshua chapter 1. And I wanted to just dig into this a little bit and look into these choices that we make. Jeremiah said last Wednesday night, the choice is something that's given to us. And I love this part. He said, there's a part that God plays, and there's a part that you play. There's a part of this that God will help you with. That's what He sends foolish virgin for. That's why He sits back and He lets you pray. And when you pray, He'll hear your prayer, and He responds to that. He can be touched. God can be touched by you. And so those are things that God plays a part with, and then there's a part that you play. But God expects you to take the Word and to do your part. When you're here today, you're sitting here hearing the Word of God, you say, well, I'm not understanding all these things. It's confused. You know, this isn't really that hard. I mean, if it's hard to you, it's because you're trying to hold on to your old thinking. Let your old thinking go, and it won't be hard, because it flows from Genesis to Revelation. The whole thing runs. And you say, well, I'm not getting this. Well, what is it that you aren't getting? God saw you. He knew you. He had a plan for you even before He was God. That ain't hard. His eternal thoughts come from His mind. Elohim is the mind of God. That's not hard to understand. He said, well, I don't understand how that could be. Well, let your thinking go. Because in your mind, God is all in all. That's as far as you can go in your thinking. So you put all the emphasis on God. But before He was God, He was the self-existing one. God is an object of worship. And God created everything through Himself. But it was still God. So it's not that hard. But, you know, we've been going over it, and I'm honestly trying to move on. I've been trying to move on for days. This has been a month. And I'm like, we've got to move on. There's other things to talk about than Elohim, but not really. Because everything we talk about goes back to Elohim. But I love it because it's helping us to understand our role and how that your decision that you make in serving God is you. It really is. And God can supply everything that you could possibly need to do the job, but if you don't believe Him, you won't even accept what He wants to do for you. God is standing with open arms saying, just believe me, and I can heal you. I can save you. I can change your body. I can take you to a new home. I can do all these things if thou can believe. I mean, that's how simple it is. And it's not if you can do it yourself. All He's asking you to do is have faith in His word. If you could take God at His word, that's all He asked. He'd ask you to do it. He didn't even ask you to do it. Just believe Him. Just believe He's going to do it through you. Do you know the healing of the body comes through you? The body change comes through you. You don't have to do it. He does it. But He expects you to have faith that He will do it. You must believe that He is God, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
You go after Him, He'll meet you halfway. He will honor your faith. He will do what you ask. You say, well, I've asked God to do something and it didn't happen. So, ask again. Ask God to heal me and I'm still sick. Well, ask again. Lord, You said You're a healer. And I'm still sick. What's wrong here? What's going on here? Whose fault is this? Myself or my parents? Whose fault is this? He says, it's nobody's fault. This is done for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's what it's about. The healing is just for the glory of God. It's not for you, because you know what? You're going to get healed and Lazarus raised from the dead and died again. So healing is just for the glory of God. Everything is for the glory of God.
Amen.
So Joshua chapter 1, here we got a young man. He was down in Egypt. And a prophet come to him and said, we got to get out of here. But Joshua believed him. Because the prophet held the word of God. And the one thing about the word of God, that when you got the word of God, it will come to pass. No ifs, ands, or buts. You don't have to ask, well, I don't know. You know, sometime a man will tell you something, and it may or may not happen. You know, I'm going to hire you for a job, and I may or may not call you in. That's man for you. But not God. If God says anything, everything that God says, He will make sure that it comes to pass. So that's what we mess up on, is because we don't have confidence in the word of God. That's where we fail, is confidence in what God said. It's not even that He didn't say it. He did say it, but we don't believe Him enough to take Him at His word. That's not God's fault. That's not the devil's fault. That's on us. The devil, all he does is try to thwart anything that God does. Anything that God says. God says by His stripes are healed. The devil's job is to walk up to you and say, you're sick. Devil's job is to say, you're not going to get better. You won't recover from this. Surely God wasn't serious. God answers everybody else's prayers but yours. Y'all never said that. Where is your God now? You're looking pretty sickly. That's the devil's job. Now let me tell you what God's job is. He's by His spoken word says, by His stripes you're healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm your Redeemer. Even if you die, I got a body waiting on you. Now that's already prepared, waiting in the heaven. Now that's God's side. Now here you are in the middle. Listen to both of them. But you have to decide who you're going to listen to.
Right.
Come on now. God ain't going to force you over there, and the devil's going to try to convince you over here. Yeah. But you have to decide, am I going to believe God or am I going to believe the devil? Most people believe the devil. That's why they don't get their healing. That's why they don't get their salvation. Do you know your salvation is the same as your healing? The same God that said I'll save you is the same God that said I'll heal you. The same God that said I'll take you to a tabernacle not made by man's hands. But thing is, do you believe that? People drop out of church because they start listening to the devil. God don't run you out of church. You leave church because you don't believe God.
Amen.
You can call it what you want. You name all kind of reasons why you leave the house of God. But there's only one reason that you leave. You don't believe God.
Amen.
Powder puff it all you want. Make it smell good. Make it look good. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. I want to go to a better church. I want to go to this. I want to do that. You can call it and do whatever you want. But the bottom line is you don't believe God. Because whatever God says, he's going to do. You're believing, if you're not believing God, there's only one more person to believe. It's either God or Satan. To whom you yield your members. His servants you are. All right. Joshua chapter 1. I won't make you all stand this morning because I don't know how far I'll get down in here. Because there's a lot of meat in here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. I'm giving you this land. It belongs to you. That was a promise. When God promises, he never changes it. He never takes it back. He never modifies it. He never updates it because of time. See, man thinks God needs to update because man's changed. God's word never changes.
Amen.
He never changes his mind about his word. If he ever said he's going to give you the land, you're going to get the land.
Amen.
If he ever says he's going to give you something, you will get it.
Amen.
If he ever promises you something, God will make sure it comes to pass.
Amen.
Because he's God.
Amen.
He cannot lie.
Amen. Amen.
I'm trying to get us to lean on him.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to trust his word.
Right.
When God speaks, believe it.
Amen.
I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care how rough it gets. Could you imagine looking at Joshua when how bad it looked? Coming out of Egypt, following the prophet. Moses said, follow me, Joshua, and I'm going to take you to the promised land. That was what Moses thought. But God had a better plan. And you know how bad it looked when Joshua watched Moses go up on the mountain and not come back? Joshua's like, oh my goodness, our prophet's gone. God's got us out here. What's going to happen now? But the thing that Joshua had, he had the word of God. He had God promised that he was going to take him to the land. So it didn't matter whether the prophet was there or not. Joshua knew, according to the word of God, that God's going to be true to his word.
Amen.
Oh my, if we could only be that way.
Oh my.
If we could only be more like Joshua. He said, Joshua, your servant, my servant is gone. He's dead. But listen to what he told him. God said, I'm going to raise up a different, I'm going to give you a different promise now. It's the same promise, but it's bringing you further into the understanding of what I said I'm going to do.
Amen.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. It's Joshua's now. as I said unto Moses. Now, wait a minute. You said, you promised to Moses, but Moses didn't get there. But Moses did get there. I don't have the scripture, Matthew, on Mount Transfiguration. Moses was there. He made it to the promised land. He just didn't get to go with the children of Israel because he smote the rock twice. See, when God says do something, you do exactly what God says. Because God can modify, he can modify the plan. He told Moses, you're going to take him to the promised land. Moses got mad and smote the rock twice. And that was against the word of God. You know the rock was only supposed to have been smitten one time. That was Christ going to Calvary. But Moses smote it twice. And God said, whoa. That's against the word. That's not right, Moses. Shouldn't have got mad. Should not have got mad. So he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Because I am God, because I don't change my mind about my word is that the children of Israel are going to the promised land. But you, Moses, you're going to go to the promised land, but you're going to take this express. I'm going to change your route a little bit. Now, did it change God's mind about his word? Not a bit. Do you realize down through the ages, every one of these messengers in every one of these church ages thought the rapture was going to happen? They were looking for it, and it didn't happen. And God modified and modified because he had a bigger plan than what they had. God's plan was to sit there on the throne for 7 ages. And while he sat there, these messengers said, the rapture's coming, the rapture's coming, and they all died. Did that change God's message? Not at all. Rapture's coming. It's still coming. Brother Childress preached the rapture, and he went to sleep believing in the rapture. He said, if I don't go in the rapture, you guys have to do it, y'all get me up. But they believed it. But Moses, because of what he did, caused him to have to not go into the land with the children of Israel. So God took Joshua, and he said, Joshua, I'm going to, everywhere you put your feet, I'm going to give you, like I said to Moses. Now, God didn't change his mind. He just modified the plan a little bit. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river. Now, see, this is why Israel is fighting today. God promised them that land. God said, Israel, this is yours. And God didn't care that somebody lived there. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. See? Squatters. I'm giving you all the Hittites land. That's like somebody coming and giving all the land of Fairborn to somebody. And you're living there. God wouldn't worry about the Hittites because you know what? He understands what that piece of land means. He understands that he promised that land to Israel. And I don't care who raises up. Israel is not giving up that land. We're watching them fighting now. And Israel's fighting like biblical fighting. Killing men, women, children, animals. All the land of Hittites. And upon the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. That's including Gaza Strip. They're not giving that up. Now, you can argue two-state solution. I don't see that there. If they ever do a two-state solution, it won't last. Because the promise right here, they didn't say, I'm giving you all that, and the Hittites can have the Gaza Strip. No. So just keep your eyes. See, this is what we should be watching. We're watching politics. We're watching politicians. You need to be watching the Word of God. Because this is the only thing that will last. And when you hear him talking two-state solution, just say to yourself, not going to work. Not going to work. When you hear how they fired a missile and killed this and this and this, say, Israel's at it. He said, well, that's awful. It is awful. Now, I'm not saying it's not awful. I'm just saying keep your eye on the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, you'll know exactly what's going on and the state of the world. Remember that? Remember in Revelation? See, this is just me thinking here. In Revelation, the whore that sat on seven hills. Remember that? You ever read the book of Revelation? Well, we know that's Rome. And we also know that Rome's going to make a covenant. And we also know that the covenant will be broken. And we also know that there is missiles waiting for Rome from Russia. Now, what would you rather watch? CNN, Fox, or the Bible? Because the Bible is right. It's not tainted. It's not twisted to one political group or the other, or trying to support Israel, or trying to hate Israel or Palestinians and versus it. It has nothing to do with none of that. The Bible is just straightforward. Israel's going to have his covenant broken, and Rome's going to have a bomb dropped on her from Russia. Now, that's what you watch. That's your politics. That's what you keep your eye on. Because that's God's word.
Amen.
You say, they'll never do that. There was a time that we couldn't destroy the whole entire world with our own bombs in one day. Now it's possible. So, God promised Israel this land. And he told Joshua, I'm going to give it to you everywhere you put your foot. There should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know, when I think of that, I think of William Branham and me. I sort of take it personal. As I was with Moses, and he was our Moses, he took us out of Egypt. He took us out of denomination. But he didn't make it to the promised land with us. Oh, he got the revelation. I'm not saying he wasn't born again. I'm saying he didn't see the rapture. But when he left, we're still here. So you better find your promises in this Bible. And I'm looking at this saying, this is to me. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Why are you arguing with the world? It's not your fight. They'll never get it right. But you can get it right if you decide. There's no man to stand before thee all the days of our life. As I was Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee. Oh, that's a good promise. Dude, could you imagine God saying that to us? I will never fail you. I will not. Now, remember, you can listen to him and what God says, or you can let the devil lie you out of your promises. But you have to decide. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. I'm encouraged this morning.
I don't worry about politics. I'm encouraged this morning. I don't worry about the Pope. I'm encouraged this morning. I'm not worried about this world order and how bad the kids are. I'm encouraged this morning. Because I got the Word of God on my side. And when you got the Word of God on your side, I don't care what you're going through, you can make it. I don't care how bad it gets, you still have answers. Let troubles come. Let problems come. Let death come. None of that's going to discourage me.
Amen.
I'm going to stay right with what God said. He'll never forsake me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's a new birth. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. What is his path of righteousness? His word.
Right there.
I'm following the word. I'm not following politics. I'm not following this world order. I'm not following how bad it gets. I'm following the word of God. Nothing shall harm me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow. Brother Branham called it a doorway. I'm not afraid of death. Oh, my house might be. It might shudder at the thought, but I am not afraid of death because I know I'll never die.
Amen.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, that's all it is. Just a shadow. There's nothing even fear. You see, people get afraid of shadows. Shadow, there's something bumping at night. They see a shadow, they get scared. I ain't worried about it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his promised word is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy word, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of all of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Now you're starting to understand David. How he can have all the problems and all the trouble and lose a child and lose his loved ones and all the stuff that happened. His kids turned on him. He got thrown out. All these things happened to him. David still turned around and said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, that's what you need to focus on. Don't focus on this world order. Focus on the word of God all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the only place that has sense.
Amen.
The only place that makes sense. The only place that puts every spirit in its place.
Amen.
I will dwell in the not just hit and miss and come and go. I'm going to stay there. I'm staying right here. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever.
That's a space of time when you're talking about man's time. I'll stay here all my life.
Amen.
I'm not looking for an exit. I'm not looking for a way out. This, I got the word of God on my side.
Amen.
Be of courage. Don't be worried about everybody around you. I've given you the land. It belongs to you. Now, this is God preaching to Joshua. He's just pumping him up. Joshua's on the mountains looking at him. Man, what am I going to do? And by the time God got finished with Joshua, come around like this. Walk on his tiptoes. Come on, y'all. Let's go. Follow me. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I already told them I'm going to give it to them. If God said he's going to give you the land, that's why I said I ain't worried about Israel. They're getting hit from every side. For some reason, this little bitty spot of land has the eye of the entire world. Isn't that weird? Oh, they're fighting in Africa. Countries in Africa fighting. You don't even know who they are. Sudan, different places. They're fighting and fussing and arguing. Nobody, not that nobody cares, but it doesn't have the same effect as Israel. And it's odd that Israel has the whole world looking at them. Israel is right in a place where they could almost start World War III.
The same land that I'm reading to you that was promised them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why does he keep saying that? God didn't want no weak Christians. He don't want no weak people. Oh, no, if I can make it. This life is hard. Life is tough. Buckle up and get up. That's what he's telling him. He's telling him, I know you miss Moses. I know he was your leader. But get up. Be strong. There is nothing worse than a weak leader. You don't know why I should preach on today. I felt like talking about this, but I don't know. Maybe people won't like it, so maybe I should. I'll go back to the ministerial books and we'll just read a little something and dedicate the babies and baptize people that if they want to be. That's what's out there. You don't have no stumping, snorting, hollering, hand-raising preachers. You got just these weak little men out here that's got a job. It's a job. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Listen to what he's telling him and listen to what I'm telling you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. People are dropping like flies around here. Don't worry about it. That ain't you. That's for me. I always say, that's for me in my house. I like to make it that personal. This is my house. That's for me in my house. My wife said this morning she wasn't feeling well. She wasn't going. I said, okay. Kissed her, prayed for her, left. I'll see when I get back. Because it's when it comes to serving God, it's personal. It's personal. Oh, my brother don't like me no more. So what? I ain't going to that church because the sister Melanie's there. And she didn't invite me to lunch. So I ain't going to church no more. All right? Stay home. Not need no weak Christian in here. I don't want weak Christians in here. You get up here. Y'all get up here with this microphone, start whining around. I'll take the microphone away. I said, there ain't no testimony. I'll testify, and I'll preach, and I'll sing, and I'll play. I'll collect the offering. I'll open and close the service if I have to. I don't need you. Not that bad. I didn't have to have a week in church. No, we're not going to be weak around here. Amen. We're not going to let this world come in here. Not at all. We don't have racial issues in here. They'll never get it over out there. So you might as well get over it, because the only safe place that's not prejudiced is in the house of God. That's it. We forget about color. Brother Childers used to always forget I was black. I get sort of insulted. He wanted me to go chew Brian out one time. He said, Brother Nate, you go get a couple of those black brothers and go talk to Brian. No, it was Larry. And he said, go get some black brothers and go talk to Larry. I said, Brother Childers, I am a black brother. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We go to churches and the black parents are carrying white kids and white parents carrying black kids and everybody's carrying it. That's the kind of place we have here. We go someplace and everybody's like, and I forget. We don't think about color when we come in these doors. Because this is the safest place you have in the world. Don't worry yourself about the prejudiced world. They will always be prejudiced. They will never get over it. It will never change. The only thing that's going to change it is the fire. I'm so glad God knew that. Amen. He knew that nothing's going to fix this thing but a fire. Yeah. And he said that in his word long time ago, before there was any prejudice around. God already knew, I'm going to have to burn this whole mess out of here in order to bring my city down. He knew that before there was a problem.
Amen.
Only way, the fire is a purifier. The only real purifier there is. Okay. Let's see. Observe to do according to all the law which my Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't go either way. Because if you go either way, it's a mess. Oops, I done something. Uh-oh. Well, I guess I can't preach. Don't turn it right hand or the left. That thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. If you stay with the word of God, you will prosper.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about you're going to be rich.
Right.
Do you know peace of mind is prosperous?
Amen.
Do you know not worrying about your kids is prosperous?
Yes.
I realized I got a revelation one day. I walked out of the house and I still remember I still lived on St. Agnes. I was going out to my little gremlin. And I had all my bills paid and I had like $20, $25 in my pocket. And it dawned on me, I said, I'm as rich as the richest man there is in the world. I got all my bills paid, and I had some money in my pocket. Same as them. I may have more money than they had in their pocket. Because people don't carry money when they're rich, I guess. I don't know. But I realized this, happiness doesn't come by money.
Amen.
Happiness doesn't come by solutions. Happiness comes from within you. And if you can be happy with yourself, then you're a happy man. You're a very prosperous man or woman. Stay with the word of God and you'll prosper. You got more revelation? Like Sister Sway said, I've learned more in 7 years. Then in all my life, that is the same testimony every last one of us had. That's the same testimony Brother Sexton had when we got to church from him. He told us after, 6 months? He said, I've learned more in 6 months. And he was an apostolic preacher. He said, I've learned more in 6 months of sitting under Brother Childers than I had learned in 50 years of Pentecost. That's the word of God. That's what's going on in here. You're hearing the word of God. You're sitting here and your mind's being changed while the word's coming forth. And you're hearing things you've never heard. You're learning things you didn't know. You're finding out things that you didn't know how it went together. And now it's all starting to make sense to you. And then you get up and you say, I've learned more now than I've known all my life. That's prosperous. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What a promise. What a promise. What problems. What shortcomings. What habits. What needs. Oh, you stay with the word and you have everything you need. But it's your choice.
Amen.
What I love about this is that God was bringing Joshua up to par and giving him a choice.
Amen.
I just pulled out of all of that reading a few things. God had requirements for Joshua. Oh, you think, oh, Joshua had to make... Oh, no. Joshua had to make up his mind. Joshua had to... Notice the way God even worded it, says, if you stay, you'll be prosperous. If you follow me, if you do this, if you do that. He was working Joshua over, but God was not forcing Joshua even into that job. God didn't make your job. Moses is gone, Joshua, now you got to do this. That wasn't what God said. He said, arise and go over Jordan. That's what he wanted him to do. He said, wherever you place your foot, and Brother Branham called that possession. He said, wherever you possess, take possession of whatever. You take possession of your life. You take possession. It's not going to be forced on you, and the devil can't take it from you. You've got to grab it yourself. Remember in Revelations, you got to take the book and eat it. God ain't going to force you. He's not going to make you. He didn't make Joshua. He said, you take possession of whatever you need. Church, you take possession. God ain't going to do this for you. Not that part. God has his part he'll do. But he told Joshua, you take possession of this thing. Be of good courage. We could be of good courage. We don't have to be. We could whine around. Nobody likes us. We're in the message. Nobody believes us. We're all alone in the world. I drive by all those big Catholic churches on the way to that. I said, look at there. They got their church packed. And I told John, I said, John, their churches are packed. And all I'm looking for is somebody who can believe the word of God. So you can be of good courage. You could encourage yourself, as Courtney sings. Encourage yourself. You can be of good courage. Oh, you don't have to be. You can whine around. Oh, nobody likes us, and we're all alone, and we don't have a lot of this, and we don't have a lot of that, and I wish we could be this, and I wish you could do that. Be strong. Observe to do all that's in the law, all that's in the word. Don't let any of it slip. But again, these are your choices. You can let it slip if you want, and then you won't be as prosperous as you would. When I see you slipping out, I see you not coming to church, I see you here, and then all of a sudden, where'd they go? You let priorities, other priorities, get ahead of the Word of God. You don't let nothing. See, these are your decisions. I can decide to stay home from church, or I can decide to go to church. God is not going to push you out of your bed on Sunday morning, drag you across the floor, dress you, and get you to the house of God and sit you in a seat, say, now listen to me. He's not going to do that. You got to want to do that. You got to want to. And the whole time God's saying, by his word, forsake not to assemble yourself together. Satan said, I'm tired. They don't understand. I was busy this weekend. I need some time to rest. Sunday's the day of rest. If God himself rested on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, surely I can have one. That's the devil for you. But God wants you to observe all of his word. Turn not from it, that you'll prosper. Keep the book and meditate to do all that is written. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. This is what God... Now, this was... God laid all this out for Joshua. Joshua had to decide. You know, when I became pastor, when Brother Childers made me pastor, and most of you heard it before, I'll repeat it again. When Brother Childers made me pastor, or named me pastor, he decided I'm going to take down, sit down, and call me Elder Childers and call you Pastor Moore. When he did that, that Saturday he came over and wanted to buy a van for the church. But he didn't want to do it because he wasn't the pastor without my permission. He said, Brother Moore, and he started calling me that right away. I said, Brother Moore, I want to ask you something. I'm like, what do y'all know? Brother Moore is like a knife in my back. It really is. I like being called Nate. I like no responsibility. But he said, well, we're going to call you Brother Moore. So from that point forward, whether y'all know it or not, every time y'all call me Brother Moore, it's a reminder to me. It's like, ugh. Ugh. So he came over that Saturday and said, Brother Moore. I'm like, ugh. Yes, Brother Childers. He said, I want to buy a van. I wanted to know if you thought it'd be a good idea and you want your blessing and permission and whatever. I said, Brother Childers, you can buy whatever you want. I was still fighting myself. I said, you can buy whatever you want. So he left, and I realized then, I said, this man ain't playing. So tomorrow morning, I realized that day, I said, tomorrow morning, I either need to take this thing by the horns like Brother Childers would want, or I can do like I really feel like. I don't want this. I didn't ask for this. I'm not ready for this. I don't need this. Brother Childress is much better, stronger man, this on, and I had all these reasons why. Well, that was the devil. Be strong. I said, I got to take it by the horn. And that Sunday morning, a lot of people weren't here Wednesday night, so they didn't even know I was a pastor. So that Sunday morning, you know, they get the song service going and everything, and I don't even know how it went, but I just know I got up. Brother Childress didn't get up. I got up. And from that point over, I said, I'll never ask Brother Childress to preach again. And the rest of his life, I never did do it. I had brothers tell me, you've hurt Brother Childress' feeling. You need to ask him to preach. I said, and I had to ask this brother. I said, so God told me to never ask Brother Childress to preach again. He could preach whenever he wants, but it'll be on him. So he don't have to come here feeling the pressure of. See, with a minister, he never knows when he's going to have to preach. He's got pressure. So he's like, God told me not to do it. And now you're telling me that I should. Now, which one of y'all think I should listen to? See, that's why I'm listening to y'all. I listen to God. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I don't want to be afraid. I'll come and preach what I preach, and whether you believe it or not, I don't even care whether you believe it or not. I care for people. I want them to have the truth, but I'm not going to compromise the word of God for you.
Amen.
Not at all. You say, I won't be back. Nah. Bye. Bye. Okay. So I better, it's 12 o'clock? My goodness. Oh, Lord. Okay. Joshua, to show you how much he believed God, I'm really going to wrap this up here, but I need to get started. Joshua, he believed God so much that he didn't let anybody try to even entertain the fact that he was a leader. He just said, come on, guys. Y'all with me. We're going over the land. So Joshua chapter 5. Oh, and I love this. I don't want to spend so much time on this. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. This, these first three verses here, is I just thought this was interesting. I think you will too. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month and even into the plain of Jericho. And they did eat of the corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. Oh, that was interesting. Listen to the rest of this. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna, verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn in the, of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. God cut off the manna. I thought that was so interesting that God cut off the manna when they got into the land. He didn't have to spoon feed us anymore. He didn't have to give us manna every day, trying to keep us up every day. When we got into the promised land at the opening of the seals, everything we needed was in the land. It's in the Word. I could preach another hour on that. Everything that we need is in the Word of God now. During the ages, they had a little bit of, God had to put manna in each age. He broke off just enough bread for that day, and they ate the manna for that day. But when you get to the land,
Amen.
You don't get any more manna.
All right.
You got to go and eat from the land.
Amen.
Everything you're going to get is going to come right out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And that was just a sidebar note. I was reading it, and I thought, oh, my God, I got to bring that just to show how that when you get into the promised land, you're no longer babies.
Amen.
You don't have to be spoon-fed anymore. You don't have to be patted on the back. Somebody don't have to follow you home and say, oh, won't you come to church? Won't you serve God? We don't have to do that. Manna, you're going to dig for this. You're going to eat of the corn. If you're going to eat corn, you got to plant it.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
You got to work the land. You got to work the word. How do we work the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. When you get into the land now, I don't have to baby you. You know who you are. You know what you're about. And you got the land right before you. Eat wherever you want. Whatever you want in that book. We can eat the whole book now. This is all because of the promises that God gave to Joshua. And Joshua started believing and he started acting upon those promises. God said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. And part of taking care of you is if I need to eat, I got to work in the word to get it. This is the only place we're going to eat from, church. We don't need a Dr. Dobson's book. We don't need A.A. Allen's book. We don't need some other preacher's book. We don't need some other church book. We got everything we need right in the land. Brother Branham said when he brought them out of Egypt and he brought them out of denomination, he said, God, where am I going to take these people? He said, back into the land, right into the word. And when we got into the land, we got no more feeding by hand and mouth by God on the throne, handing out a little bit of manna. It's flowing with everything we need, milk and honey and corn and whatever you have need of, God supplied it right in the land. That's why we have services and can't get anything done, because we have so much to eat. We have so much to preach that we can go anywhere in that Bible. I go anywhere in that Bible and I can eat from there, because I'm in the land now. I'm in the land of milk and honey. I'm in the land where God's placed us by the opening of the seals. It opened up the whole book to us. Now we're standing on those promises.
Amen.
And I'm going to have to close. That wasn't even... I purposely didn't highlight that because I said I'm going to skip that and I'm going to go down and read what I want to read, but I couldn't pass it up, Jeremiah. We're in the land. We're standing on the promises that God promised us. And we're courageous. We're strong. We're not weak. We're not battled by, we're not up and down and in church and out of church. And one day God's on our side and next day he's not. We're standing on the promises because he's promised us just like he promised Moses.
That's right.
As I was with Moses, I'll be with you.
He is.
And he's here.
He is.
He's with us.
Amen.
He's in us.
He
he's supplying all of our needs. Don't be down when this world order gets out of shape. You look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The promises are laying right in our hands. We're going through this land now. We're not trying to make it happen. It's happening despite us. I can go anywhere in the Word of God and pull out a scripture and get fed from it, Jeremiah. I can go to the Old Testament. I can go to the New Testament. I can talk about things that was, that is, or things that are to come. I can talk about where we're at. I can talk about where we're going to. I can tell you what the next step is.
Amen.
All because we're standing on that promised word. I'm going to have to close. I sure don't want to. Let me just finish reading just Joshua 5, because this is where I was trying to get down to verse 13. Joshua chapter 5. Just a few more verses here. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now remember, they're in the land now. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or be our adversaries? Who are you? Once you get into the land, this is the first person you will meet. And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now. I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Give me some direction. Once you get into the land and you meet the captain of the Lord's host, we fall on our face and say, Lord, direct me. Direct me. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet. Sounds like Moses. Remember when Moses came to that pillar of fire in the bush, the burning bush? Take your shoes off, Moses, for the ground that you're on are holy ground. This is the same guy. He wasn't a burning bush, but he was a man. Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did it. See, Joshua is now following. He just, whatever, Lord. Whatever you say. See, that's what Joshua was. He was building his life around the promises. We build our lives around the promises. I don't care what problems you had yesterday. Today's a new day. You come in the presence of the Lord. And now you're in front of the Lord himself. And now bow yourself and say, Lord, here am I. What do you want from me? What do you want in my life? What do you want me to pick up? What do you want me to drop? What do you want me to change? What do you want me to do? I'm totally yours. I'm here. And maybe yesterday you weren't here. Maybe before you had your own thinking, your own ideals, and went your own ways, and God had to just sort of stand back and watch you listen to the devil. But today's a new day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today's the day you can say, Lord, as for me, I'm going to do what you say. Anything you say, I want to do. Joshua did. Joshua did a whole lot more than that. Oh, my goodness. Just to go into Joshua's life after God told him his promises, Joshua was unbeatable. Now that God has told you your promises, you are unbeatable. That's where we're at, church. That's why the world order can't stop me. That's why it doesn't slow me down. Oh, I wish the world was better. I wish people would be honest. I wish they, but I'm fighting against the losing battle. The Word of God said it will get worse. So me pushing against it, trying to make it, you could grab everybody's hand around the world and sing Kumbaya, and it'll never hold. Because the Word of God is against it. It's against this world order. And it's going down. But as Joshua's spirit on you, you're saying, Lord, whatever you want. Wherever in this land you want me to, I'll eat. Wherever in that Bible you bring up, I'll put it to life. I'll put it to work in my life. I'll change. And it's not that you're going to change, but you have to make up your mind that you want to change. And when you make up your mind and you step towards him, he'll step towards you. That habit you have that you can't stop, you watch what happens with that habit. You put forth that effort and say, Lord, I don't want that anymore. He'll say, I don't want you to have it anymore. And like I said, God cheats. He gets under the hood. He changes the spark plugs and he changes whatever he needs to do under the hood so that your very desire changes. Where you used to like to smoke cigarettes, it is, for some reason it makes you sick. Where you used to like to do this or that or the other, all of a sudden you don't want that anymore. Amen. And the more you give to him, the more he'll give to you. Amen. The more you give to the devil, the more he'll take from you. Right. That's the way that works, people. I'd rather give to him. I'd rather stand on his promises. I'd rather let him just lead me, guide me all along the way. That's that song says, if I lead you, then I will not stray. I don't want to stray. I want to stand like Joshua. I want to stand on the promises. I want to be strong. You young people, be strong. It's hard in those schools. They want to pull you to the devil's side, but you just stay with the word. You say, but I don't know a lot of word. Stand on what you know. God only gives you as much as you can handle. He's not going to give you 10 bags of groceries. If all you can carry is one, he'll give you one. And then as you grow, you say, Lord, I can handle 2 bags of groceries. He'll give you 2. But let me tell you,
He said in His Word, He promised He'll never put more on you than you can bear. So if all you can handle is a little, just walk with that little bit. And be strong and be of good courage and stand on the Word of God. And God will see you through. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning that we have Your Word, that we have Your promises. And just like Joshua, Lord, You give us the things to consider and to look at. And Father, as we look at Your Word, we see we can eat anywhere in there now. We're in the land. And we can eat of that Word anywhere in that land. But I want to be a good courage. I want to be strong. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. A believer of Your truth so that everybody else can look and come to me saying, Lord, pray for me because I see that God is with You. We want You to just walk with us, Lord. Help us. If we've never stood, let us stand today. If we've never been strong, let us be strong today. If we've never taken a stand, let us take that stance right now. Forget the world. Forget all these things that the world's trying to offer. And let's follow You. Let's stand with You. Let's let You lead and guide us all along the way. Thank You for this congregation, Lord. Thank You for the Word. Touch those that are sick, Lord. Bring us back this evening just on fire for You, Lord. Let us be stronger when we walk out of these doors. Lord, we sang that song, I Need a Change. Lord, I pray that the changes happen this morning. That, Lord, when we walk out of these doors, we will be a changed creature in Christ. That's our desire. That's what we want. That's our heart's desire, Lord. Let it be. Thank You, Father, for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. We could find that. It's in the key of A. Amen. Don't forget service tonight at 7. I wish I could. I don't want to hold y'all. I don't. So I cut things off, and I just sometimes feel like I should just go ahead and preach, but it would be 2, 3 o'clock before I got out of here. But know this, that God just breaks off a little bit each service for us, and I can always come back and bring it. Bring some more some other time. Sometimes I would get wound up and I don't know. This is my life. This is my life. And I have nothing better to do than to serve God. Amen. God bless you. Come back tonight at 7. Until then, we'll be standing on the promises. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. For I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing. I am standing. Lord, I'm standing on the promises of Christ mine. Oh, yes, I'm standing. I'm standing. Lord, I'm standing on the promises of God. I am standing on the promises that cannot fail. With the howling storms of doubt and fear assails. By the living Word of God I shall prevail. For I'm standing on the promises
of God. Oh, I am standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. I'm standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. For I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing.
I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. You're dismissed.